take your Bible and turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Once you find John 12, I want you to find verse number 23. John chapter 12, find verse 23. I'm going to read with you the scripture. We'll come back to it again in a moment. John chapter 12, and would you stand with me, please? John chapter 12, find verse 23. Let me tell you the title of the sermon this morning. It's called this: New Year Adversity Brings New Year Prosperity. New Year Adversity Brings New Year Prosperity. John chapter 12, verse 23, it says, "And Jesus answering them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Notice there those words. It said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat shall fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." The sermon is called New Year Adversity Brings New Year Prosperity. And let's pray. Father, I pray that you will help me to help someone. Somebody today desperately needs this truth. Somebody tomorrow will need it. They don't know it, but a difficulty will come to them. Somehow, use the sermon today to help us today. Use the sermon today to help us in days to come. Thank you for the new year. Help us to have prosperity in it. Holy Spirit of God, control our thoughts, control our perceptions, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are a lot of what we would call very common New Year's resolutions. People on New Year's Eve make promises, maybe to themselves or to whoever, about what they're going to do to improve or better themselves for the new year. I looked it up, and I just asked, what are some of the most common New Year's resolutions that are going to be made for 2019? And they have people out there that don't have anything better to do with their time than walk around with a clipboard and ask people questions like this. And so I'm glad that somebody asked the question. I'm going to tell you what some of the top resolutions will be for 2019. The first one was eat healthier. Amen. But not until, and we got a couple days yet. I hope y'all like fruit and vegetables. Oh, I have been eating so much. Jelly bellies. It's jelly bean. Did you know there are over 100 different flavors of jelly bellies? They are addicting. I don't know what it's like to be addicted to drugs, but I know what it's like to be addicted with jelly bellies. My wife the other night, I got a bunch of them for Christmas, and I took them to bed with me. And my wife said, don't you think you ought to put those away? I said, I'm having a hard time. Take it from me. Lock me in the closet. Y'all like jelly bellies?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the first New Year's resolution is going to be very popular is eat healthier. I'm going to eat more of the jelly bellies that are flavored like fruit and vegetables, but that is a bean. Okay. And then it said, number two is get more exercise. And then save more money. Then, I don't like this one, it says focus on myself. Really, I think we ought to focus on others, but focus on myself. Then it's read more. Then the next one is make new friends. That's because you ruined the friendship from last year, so you better get a few new ones for next year. Then it says learn a new skill. And then there's another one, get a new job, because you boogered up your skill from last year. You're going to have to get a new job, I guess. And then it's take up a new hobby. And those will be what they think will be the big, big commitments for next year. The new year brings a new or maybe a fresh start for us in our thinking and a fresh energy. And I think the new year can bring some new positive with it. I think the new year can bring some new challenges and good challenges. But might I say it can also bring some difficult challenges. I will tell you this. In the new year, you will have some new adversities. Let me tell you right off the bat so you understand. Most of the time with Christians, we go through difficulties that end up helping us to succeed in life. I would love it if all the successes of life just came easy, but that's not usually the case. Most of the time, the successes of life come through difficulty. Now, if I may, let me explain it. We were reading a moment ago in John chapter 12, where it said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Notice there, whenever bad things happen to a believer in God, God can get something good out of it. Notice that Jesus said, Jesus was speaking, he talks about that seed of wheat that fell into the ground. Now, could I say, falling hurts. But it fell. It fell to the ground. And then it said it must die. And again, from everything I've seen, dying hurts. So that the grain of wheat fell. That's a challenge. And then it dies. And that's a challenge. But then, and only then, can it bring forth much fruit. It had to be cast to the ground. It died. It was buried, if you will. Then God said that thing can bring forth much fruit. And I want you all to know it's that way a lot in the Christian life. If you said, "Preacher, I really want to have prosperity for 2019, then I got to tell you, there's probably going to be a price to pay. There will be difficulties that will lead you to that prosperity. And God teaches it. It's a concept of the Bible. God's teaching that in our sorrows, there can be joy. God is teaching that in our crosses, there can be crowns. God's teaching that in our miseries, you're going to find great mercies. God's teaching that in our losses, there can also be gains. God's telling us that what seems to be a cast down can suddenly be a sprout up, but you may have to go the downward motion or the downward way to end up going up. And that's what happened with that grain of wheat. It had to go down to get up. And in the Christian life, it's that way often. God's teaching that our disappointments may just be some spiritual appointments eventually with success. Catastrophes are compensated with success by God. Now, in your new year, you say, "I want prosperity." Well, prosperity often comes through adversity. Brother Pine, I've been thinking about your business. The guy is as busy as he could be right now.
That's right.
But you know what? That came as a result of pain. He does heating and air conditioning work. Hurricane Florence hit us. Pain. It devastated our area. Now, on the other end, there's prosperity, but there was a pain that was involved in the prosperity. And it's not just in this one area of life. It's not just in the heating and air conditioning area. I'm just telling you, in life, so many times, the negatives are the pathway to the positives. And so I say to you, when you say, "Pastor, I want prosperity for 2019, get ready." The pathway to prosperity so many times includes adversity. You were a young lady. You and your husband just got married and you could not wait. You said, "Someday I'm going to be a mom and I'm going to have a baby." But you had to go through labor to get that critter. There was pain that brought the cry of that baby. What is that? Well, there is a bit of adversity, if you will, to get the prosperity. And now, you'd like to give that kid back. But prosperity often comes through burden. And if you'll listen to me, I'm going to tell you some stories and I'm going to apply this if I could today. And I think somebody in here, I think you'll find something that you can kind of sink your emotional teeth into. For instance, Joseph's adversity made it so he could meet the needs of other people. The man named Joseph in the Old Testament, he went through adversity, but his adversity produced prosperity. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, it says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." Let me tell you the story very quickly. Joseph's adversity. Joseph was one of many sons. His brothers became jealous of him to the point where they sell him into slavery. They hide this fact from their father, and dad thought his son named Joseph had been killed by a wild animal. Joseph is carted off to a distant country. He's made into a slave. At one point in Joseph's life, he is falsely accused of a terrible crime. But he just kept on living for God. But I gotta tell you something. If your brothers sell you into slavery, and your dad thinks you're dead, and you grow up in another country as a slave, and boy, Joseph really went through it. The adversity was there. Then, you see the prosperity that came because of Joseph's adversity. Eventually, his suffering pays off. Eventually, that right living pays off. He ends up becoming second in charge in that foreign country. In his country where he came from, back home, a famine hits. His family and the people in his country are starving to death, but Joseph is living in a distant country. He's second in charge, and guess what? He's in charge of all the food storage in that country. His family ends up making their way to Joseph in that country, and Joseph is able to feed his family and save the people from his country. Now, when Joseph was going through the adversity, it probably wasn't real pleasant, but there was prosperity on the horizon. Had Joseph not faced that adversity, he wouldn't have been able to help his family. He wouldn't have been able to feed those from his country. Hey, could I recommend something? When you start to go through adversity, it might be you want to take a good long look at it. It might be that God is preparing you in the future to help somebody. Let your new year adversity bring new year prosperity. I think Joseph went through a tough time, but the tough time made it so that Joseph could help or meet the needs of other people. Folks, let me tell you something. If you quit during your tough time, you're not only quitting on yourself, but you're quitting on all the people that God was probably going to let you help. Now, Joseph could have thrown in the towel and Joseph could have said, "I quit." Had Joseph quit when he got sold into slavery, and had Joseph quit when he was working in that foreign country and when he was being accused of things that he didn't even do, had he quit, he couldn't have fed his family. He couldn't have fed those people in the future. So, let me remind you, adversity can lead to prosperity. And in Joseph's case, his adversity led to him being able to help other people. Let me tell you another story where I see this as true. The man named Jacob. Jacob's adversity made it so he could have prosperity. You say, what was his prosperity? He got to see God. He got to see God. I'll read to you from Genesis 28, verse 13. It says, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it and to thy seed." Let me tell you the story of Jacob in case you don't know it. Jacob faced adversity. Jacob had to flee from his home. He had to leave his mom. He had to leave his father. He had to flee from his brother because his brother wanted to kill him. The Bible actually says that Jacob was sleeping out in the wilderness and he had a stone as a pillow. He's away from home, away from mom, away from dad, away from everything that he had. And he is facing adversity and it's nighttime and it's dark and it's cold and he has a stone for a pillow. Then the prosperity came. While sleeping on that stony pillow, God appears to Jacob. He sees God using a ladder leading to heaven. That's where the verse came from in Genesis 28, verse 13. It says, "And behold, the Lord stood above it." Stood above what? The ladder. Now understand something. Jacob had gone through adversity, but something very prosperous happened to him. You say, what was it? He got to see God. Wow.
His adversity produced the very presence of God to be there with him.
I don't know how many times you've ever looked at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but they would have never seen God had they not entered that burning fiery furnace. And if you would look at it, they did not see him until they went into the furnace. So outside the furnace, they did not see him, but inside the furnace is when they said, there he is, that's God. See, Jacob went through adversity, and the adversity helped Jacob to see God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went into a furnace, and that's where they got to see God. Usually, if there's not a great need, you don't have to see God, the great need filler. Adversity in life requires God's presence in a special way. Let me tell you something. Look for God in your adversity. Look at God in your adversity. Look for God during your storm. Look for God during your pain. He's the light at the end of tragedy's dark tunnel. There's a song, standing somewhere in the shadow, you'll find him. When Jacob had to leave home and leave mom and leave dad and everything that he went through, sleeping in the wilderness on a stone, in the night, God appeared. Now, folks, I'm sure you say, well, I don't know what prosperity I want in life. I'll tell you this. When you have the presence of God show up to give you the assurance He's your God and He's there, boy, that's better than anything else you could get. That's better than going to the mailbox and finding a check in the mail. I mean, it's great that you maybe have some financial blessing here or there, but when God shows up, He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He's better than a check. And so when adversity comes, adversity can lead to prosperity. Joseph's adversity helped him to meet the needs of others. Jacob's adversity made it so that he got to actually see God in his life. Thirdly, I think of John's, and don't talk, young people, listen. John's adversity made it so he could have prosperity. And what happened was, you'll find out in a moment, John becomes a tremendous hope giver. He develops into one that gives hope to many people. I'm going to read to you from Revelation chapter 1, verse number 9, where it says this, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of patience of Christ Jesus, was in the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now I'll read to you from Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. It says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which thou must be hereafter. Now, let me talk to you about John's adversity for a second. John loved the Lord. Matter of fact, he was called John the Beloved. He stood for Jesus. He was a part of the inner circle. And he ended up getting punished for his stand. He was banished to the Isle of Patmos. And he was, in other words, here's a man that loved the Lord, and they put him as a prisoner, if you will, out on an island. And he's captive there. He's lonely. He's misunderstood. Do you understand? They actually boiled this man while he was alive in a cauldron of hot oil. That's bad enough to be banished out on an island, but to have been boiled in oil and then taken out there, you say, was there a hospital nearby? No, you don't get it. They boiled him oil and threw him on the island hoping he would die. They expected that he would die. But he was kept alive. He was humiliated and abused. There's the adversity. Poor John. You say, what did he do? Love Jesus. He loved Jesus. That's what he did. He loved Jesus. He loved Jesus, and that's what got him on the island, if you will. They were punishing him because of his commitment to God. But wait a minute. Adversity brings prosperity. The prosperity, he's on that island. But did you know that while he was on that island, God gave John the writings of the book of Revelation? Now, what seemed to be a bad thing called exile turned out really to be a good thing. The book of Revelation is the great book of hope. The book of Revelation is one that tells us Christians that we have hope in the end times. Did you know that we get from the book of Revelation the teaching of the rapture?
Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, where the Bible says, come up hither. You know what that is? That's when God says, folks, I'm coming to get you. Come up off that earth. Let's go to heaven. Boy, I love that. I love that victory. I love that hope. We get to see. You know that you and I have read about the fact that the Antichrist and the devil, you know that in the book of Revelation it tells us that the devil's going to get his dues? Did you know that in the book of Revelation the Antichrist is going to be put down? Did you know that in the book of Revelation it tells about a battle called the Battle of Armageddon and Jesus wins and we all get to ride white horses and we all get to go to heaven someday? Wow! Think of all the things that the book of Revelation tells us. It's such a great, great book. But John had to be boiled in oil and banished to an island to get it. Adversity that brings hope to you and I. God may allow you to face adversity today so you can be a hope giver tomorrow. The book of Revelation is a great book of hope. It says to us Christians, you know, we all worry about the future. What's the future going to be? What's the future going to be like? The book of Revelation tells us what it's going to be like. We have heaven in our future. We have some wonderful things in our future. And God allowed John to go through the adversity of banishment and the adversity of loneliness and the adversity of physically being boiled in oil so God could then work with John and John could become a great hope giver. Could your adversity be the strengthening that God needed to give you so that you could give others hope later? You know that someone's watching your adversity. They may be gathering hope by watching you. Your heartache, and I wish I could convince people this, not all the time is your heartache all about you. Sometimes our heartache's about somebody else. And God allowed us to go through something so somebody else could gather hope and strength and courage and faith by watching us. Now you might want to keep an eye on that burden that you've turned into. It's all about me and what I feel and what I'm going through. Hey, you might want to stop and realize somebody's watching you, and it might be that the burden had really nothing to do with you other than the compliment that God thought you'd behave right while you went through it because He was doing it for somebody else to gain from you the right way to do it. So don't mess it up. But if you want some prosperity in 2019, I've got a hunch it's going to come by way of adversity. Because we get the prosperity in John's book of Revelation through the adversity of John's banishment to the Isle of Patmos. We see Jacob and that the wonderful things that Jacob had. He got to see God, but it came through the adversity of sleeping on a rock in the wilderness, having to leave mom and dad. Joseph got sold into slavery so he could help people later. I was thinking about David. David is one that helps us all. David's adversity made it so that he would have prosperity. You say, what kind of prosperity? You talk about a great encourager. David's a great encourager. I'll show you that in a moment. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 50, it says this, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling. You understand David's adversity? David, if you know his story when he was a young man, David faced a lion in his father's field. Now, we all like to tell the story about how David conquered a lion. You do understand that that wasn't necessarily a real pleasant, fun, joy-filled night for David when with his bare hands he is fighting a lion in the field alone. You know, they didn't have lion slaying classes back then. And then OSHA wasn't there to make sure everything was going to be safe during the battle. There were no referees. He fought a lion and with his bare hands killed a lion. That's adversity if you ask me. David faced a bear the same way while he was protecting his father's flocks. Then David comes along and he fights Goliath, which was probably for all practical reasons, he was over 9 foot tall. David faced then the jealousy of Saul, where Saul begins to hunt David like an animal. And then David had to face even some of his own sins and the things that he caused himself. Adversity, adversity, adversity. You say, well, where's the prosperity? Well, I don't know if you know it, but one day David is crowned king. And David went down in history with these words, a man after God's own
heart. It was David who God used to pen the Psalms. I don't know about you. There is no greater book of encouragement in the entire Bible to me than the book of Psalms. If I need encouragement, I run to the Psalms. Wait, I couldn't get encouraged from the writing of David if David had not fought Goliath. I couldn't get encouragement from the writing of David had David not fought a lion. I couldn't get encouragement from the writing of David had David not fought a bear. I couldn't get encouragement had David not been chased by Saul and Saul tried to kill him. David faced all sorts of disloyalties and all what David went through. But the prosperity came through the process of adversity. And to everybody in here, your adversity was not given to you to destroy you, but to make you. Your adversity was not given to you to keep you down, but to get you up. Your adversity was not given to you to make you go backwards, but to go forwards. What are you doing with it? I get encouragement from the great David because David had gone through adversity and his adversity brings encouragement to me. You ever heard this verse? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know who God used to write that? David. Psalm 120, verse 1. In my distress I cried unto the Lord and He heard me. Y'all ever read through that? Yeah, start reading through the Psalms and all of a sudden you see a verse like that. Say, oh God, that was for me. Oh, I need that. You've been there. If you read your Bible at all, you run to the Psalms. May I say to you, all your encouragement in the Psalms came through a man that faced adversity with dignity. And that adversity produced prosperity. I'm going to do something great in 2019. Then you're going to pay a price. Because prosperity is not just handed out. It's just the way it is. Psalm 51:11. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You ever read that verse? Where'd it come from? A David that had to fight his way through life, fighting bears and lions and disloyalties and the king that was supposed to be on his side. Your adversity could result in my encouragement, and my adversity could result in your encouragement. Hey, when you survive with a good attitude, your adversity encourages others. Survivors become encouragers if they do the will of God. You say, I made it. You're making it. May not be as much about you as it was somebody else. Parents, make it. Make it. Why? Your kids need to see you make it. They don't need to see you backsliding away from God. They need to see you go through whatever you go through and keep your eyes on the Savior. And on the other end of it, your kids need to say, I see how you make it through hard times. You see, David faced adversity, which produces prosperity. So I'm going to have a whopping successful 2019, and I hope you do. But prosperity comes through adversity. Elijah was one that went through adversity. And he ends up having prosperity as a result of adversity. Elijah's adversity made it so he received some really special attention and blessings from God. Let me read to you. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 5, it says this. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. You understand, here the Bible says an angel appeared to Elijah and fed him. Well, that's a pretty big blessing. Elijah's story. What's his adversity? What did he face? Well, Elijah stood for God. He had at one time, he had to fight hundreds of false prophets. When he does that, he slaughters a whole bunch of false prophets, 400, 450 false prophets he slays. Then Jezebel, the lady in charge at that time, she puts out a warrant for his death. So everybody in the country is hunting for Elijah to put him to death.
And so he had to kill all these false prophets. He finds himself in as a fugitive in the wilderness, hiding. He was tired, he was hungry, and he was bummed out. He faced all that. That's the adversity. You say, where's the prosperity? God comes to him in a special way, and God feeds him. Then God gives him special strength. Then God gives him ministry. You know, the Bible says that God fed Elijah. He found him under a juniper tree, tired, weary, bummed out, depressed, but he made it, and Elijah kept moving, and God said, I'm going to feed you a meal. He said, I can give you enough strength that you can go for 40 days without a meal. Wow. God steps in and works a miracle on Elijah's behalf. I think there are people in this room, I wish you could testify, because I believe there are people in this room, you have faced adversity, but you have also watched God step up in a miraculous way, meet your needs, and do some things that are just amazing for you as a result of the adversity. Don't you forget about that. You experienced a prosperity that came as a result of an adversity. God steps in and helps Elijah in a very special way. God's special intervention made Elijah's, it gave him something that most people would never, ever hear about. And folks, don't you ever miss it. Don't you say, you know what, I went through a tough time and what a coincidence my need was met. It's not a coincidence your need was met. God helps Christians to have prosperity so many times as they've come through adversity. Special burdens require special solutions. Special solutions come from God. And remember this, you're special to God. There are people in here, you've watched God in a special way meet a need. There are people sitting in this room. I don't know how long ago it was, months, a year, years ago. You took a hit in life. And if I may put it this way, it almost gutted you emotionally and spiritually. I mean, it emptied you. And you wondered, is there a future? But since God has stepped up and shown himself pretty powerful, don't you lose track of who it is that has brought the prosperity. And back when you looked at the adversity and you felt like this is going to take me under for the last time, I can't make it, I can't take it, and you did, and you have, and you're smiling again, and you're laughing again, and you're happy again, and you have hope again. You went through adversity, but prosperity was on the horizon. That's how God does it. It's what he does. Let me give you another. Paul. Paul's adversity brought prosperity. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 28, it says, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul had started churches, and Paul felt very responsible to help churches. What's Paul's story of adversity? Well, when Paul first got saved, everybody was scared to death of him. Now, how would you like it if you got saved and the very next time you walked into church, everybody in the church ran out the side door? That's kind of what was happening with Paul. Paul got saved and everybody's scared to death of him. You think you have a tough testimony before salvation. This guy, everybody's petrified of him. He was rejected. Then he goes from the guy that can throw people into prison to the guy that gets put in prison every time he turned around. I joke about this. Paul stood for God. When Paul went into any town to preach a revival, the first thing he did is went by the jail and left his suitcase there because that's where his reservation was for overnight accommodation. He would go into town, leave his suitcases. I'll be by to get this later on. He'd go down, preach a revival. They'd shackle him, take him in. He'd say, that's my suitcase behind the door. Throw it into jail with me. That's virtually what Paul faced. He was in prison. You know, he was bitten by poisonous snakes, beaten within inches of his life, probably even lost his life at one point, lied about. He was attacked by lost people and attacked by religious people. He was shipwrecked. Now, I wouldn't mind being shipwrecked if there were no sharks in the water. Christiana got me some socks for Christmas. Thank you.
They have sharks all over them. Because I hate sharks. I like eating fish. I do not want to be fish food. There's no way.
The poor Apostle Paul, forsaken, shipwrecked, snake-bitten, beaten, lied about, rejected, imprisoned, attacked by loss and the safe. Paul, what you going through? I believe they beat him senseless. And if you studied Flavius Josephus, the great Greek historian, they would say they probably beat him into having seizures in his brain. He was epileptic. When Paul said, "See how large a letter I write unto thee," it's because he couldn't see. It wasn't that he was writing a lot. It was that he was writing big because his eyes and his vision was marred from the beatings that he faced because of his stand for Jesus Christ. Adversity. But let me tell you something. You better thank God that the Apostle Paul faced his adversity. He was used by God to pen probably 13 books of the New Testament. There's the prosperity. He becomes the New Testament doctrinal professor of all time. Started churches everywhere. The missionary movement of our day. He led preacher boys. I mean, every time you turn around, you're hearing him talk about one of his kids in the Lord who ends up having his name splattered all over the New Testament for influence. The Apostle Paul got beaten and forsaken and betrayed and hurt and dumped on and mistreated. And he said, "I'll keep on going." And when he did, God turned around and he said, "That adversity qualifies you for prosperity. I'll use you like I'll use nobody other than my son in the New Testament." Maybe your adversity came to you not to make you less productive, but more productive. Maybe God, as He did Paul, said there's going to be some adversity in your life, and it's going to bring ministry prosperity. Some of that adversity may make you a better bus captain. It may make you a better Sunday school teacher. It may make you a better in your ministry, and it should. That's what it did with Paul. I wish I had time, and I need to stop, but I could talk to you for the next hour. I look at Moses, just as a kid thrown in a basket, sent up the river, reared in captivity. Oh, what Moses faced. You know, he spent 40 years on the backside of a desert, hated, running for his life. Why? Because God needed somebody that could lead a lot of people. One day God looked down and said, "Moses, you're the guy." He said, "Well, seems like everything that's happened to me thus far has all been heavy burdens." God said, "Yeah, you've been in leadership training camp. Going to get tough out there, Moses." He said, "That's all I'm used to. You're the guy." God didn't need somebody that was sissy britches to lead millions of people through the wilderness. He needed somebody that had a backbone, that had some courage, that had paid the price, that could take a beating and stand up again and try again. Moses just get up and he'd shake it off. He said, "Okay, where's the next fight?" Then lie there and moan and groan and whine. He fought. And Moses, in my opinion, other than Jesus Christ, Moses was probably the most powerful leader in the entire Bible. I'm going to close my Bible because I've got too many things to say and not enough time to say it. But don't let that put you at too much ease. I have the last 3 points memorized. Let me finish with this to start 2019. Oh, the adversity that Jesus faced. Why would He come from a perfect heaven and put up with what He put up with? Born in a manger? Did He deserve the smell of the dung? The flies? The mockings? Crucified? Tormented? His beard plucked? Adversity? He died. He was buried. Let me tell you something. There came a moment when the prosperity, and up from the grave He arose. And because He
face the adversity, you and I have the prosperity of eternal life. I would wish for your 2019 much prosperity. But I think if, as your pastor, I could give you a touch of reality, prosperity is produced through adversity. The greater the prosperity, the more the price to pay. I got a lot of business people in this church. Say, I want prosperity, then you will pay a price. I wish it came easy. And some of you built businesses, you know what I mean. There's a price to pay. You say, I want my ministry to grow. There's a price to pay. You say, I want something for my family. There's a price to pay. And sometimes even when you don't see maybe the prosperity now for you at this moment, sometimes it may not just be all about you. It might be somebody else that need to glance over and watch your adversity so they have the hope of their prosperity as they go through difficult times themselves. I call the sermon, New Year Adversity Brings New Year Prosperity. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I really do hope that someone allowed this sermon to help them today. You've gone through some tough things. Don't go backwards. Keep going forward for God. That adversity was not brought to destroy you. It's brought to make you strong. Prosperity is available. Weather the storm of the adversity. If you're here today and you're not born again, you better thank God that Jesus died for you and went through terrible, terrible things to make salvation available to you. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I'm not born again. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. God bless you. God bless you. Now, those of you that are born again, take a moment and ask yourself, am I going to let the adversity stop me since I know that prosperity is on the horizon? And for some of you, you got to take a real quick second and just thank the Lord. Back when you were hopeless, you were facing the adversity, but now there's hope. Thank God for that hope. Thank God. Thank God that you say, whoa, I've got some prosperities going here. And it was so negative a week ago, so negative a month ago, so negative a year ago. Oh, that's the goodness of God. Who here would say, Pastor, I see the prosperities and the availability of prosperity through the adversity. And God has spoken to my heart about that concept. And I want to cling to it by faith today. Would you raise your hand and let God see your hand? God bless you. Lots of hands. You may put those hands down. We're going to have a moment of altar call. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're a Christian and you need a moment at the altar, hey, maybe your adversity came and you start to turn around and go the opposite direction. Don't do that. Stay on track with God because prosperity is available as you come through your adversity.